We praise you, Lord, for your living word. This morning, we want to lay hold of the Spirit in your word. Thank you, Lord. You want to speak to us. We want to hear your voice. Lord Jesus, we praise you. I hope that you all received the outline. We see here the main burden for this time. The title of this conference is The Movement of God's Glory Through Our Cooperation. Amen. This is what we want to see. Most of us attended the spring conference, where we already saw that God in His glory doesn't want to stop, but His glory wants to move, wants to go forward with power. And we have received a burden concerning the vision the prophet Ezekiel saw at the beginning of his calling, to see this vision also in the New Testament, how it all started, how the Lord really went forward with His work through a group of young people. And we really have the impression the Lord wants to continue to do this today. He wants to continue His work and He wants to perfect it. This age is really a time of perfection. And that's why we have to see very clearly, how can this happen? We read Zechariah. It doesn't happen just somehow. The Lord says very clearly, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. It will happen, says the Lord of hosts. And this is the burden for the meeting this morning. By God's Spirit, it shall happen. Amen. And we already see this in the very beginning in the book of Acts. When I read this again, I was even more amazed, like ever before, that this whole work can only be done by the Spirit. If we come back to chapter 1 in the book of Acts, the Lord gives them a command. The Lord gives His disciples a command. That's verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." It really impressed me. The Lord wanted His disciples to carry this testimony to the ends of the earth. But He didn't just send them and said, "Okay, go." But He said, "Wait, don't depart from Jerusalem until I have poured out My Spirit on you." And the question is, why did they have to wait? The Lord was already resurrected. The resurrection already happened. And when we go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, we can read in verse 22 that already after the resurrection, the Lord came to the disciples and said to them, John 20:21, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent Me, I also send you.' And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. They already received the Holy Spirit. But why couldn't they go? Here we have to understand what was mentioned yesterday night. You have three components of the Lord's work. He died on the cross for our sins, to finish all the negative things. But then we saw the resurrection is even more important than His death. And in resurrection, he became the Spirit who gives life. And on the day of his resurrection, he breathed the Spirit into his disciples. He gave them this resurrection life. But this was not sufficient to execute God's work. It's not sufficient that we have God's life in us as our strength, as our new life. At that time, the Lord was not ascended. His ascension was 40 days later. Now let us turn to Ephesians 1. And let's read together verses 20 to 22. Ephesians 1, verses 19. Let's start with 19. 19 to 22. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Amen. Also verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. We see here the Lord resurrected from the dead, and He ascended and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And by doing this, he was raised high above every principality and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Hallelujah! The Lord ascended. And that is wonderful. For the Lord's work, we need the experience of His ascension. We need the experience that the Lord sits on the throne. Without this, you cannot go. Why not? We also saw this in Psalm 110. Yesterday night it became clear. The Lord, when He was seated at the right hand of the Father, I read again Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. We really have to understand. When we go to do God's work, we will not just meet friends. There are several enemies. Not just several, many enemies. And also when the Lord sent His disciples in Luke 10, He says to them, I send you as lambs among the wolves. And now as a lamb, go among the wolves. If you just go as a lamb, you will not endure long. But we need a heavenly support, protection. We need a strength that goes with us. And this is what the Lord has to give us. And that's why He said, don't go, don't just go. And also today, I am very encouraged. We are a young army here. And I think the Lord has already worked something in our hearts. We want to do God's work. We want to go forward with Him. But already at the time of Moses, it was said to the people, you can't do it. And the Lord says, it can only be done by my Spirit. Let us again go to Zechariah. Chapter 4. Zechariah 4 verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. This is exactly what we see in the book of Acts. It is not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Later on we will see, for example, in Acts chapter 3, there is an incident where Peter and John went into the temple and they healed a crippled, lame person. And they were all amazed. That's Acts 3 verse 12. There it says, "So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?'" Amen. It was not their power, but it was the Spirit who was able to work through them. The Lord had sent them. The Lord touched them in this situation. And Peter realized, oh, this is a situation I should not miss. The Lord wants to do something. And then he spoke by faith, and the Spirit worked through them. And through this situation, 2,000 men were added to the believers. Praise the Lord. It was the power of the Holy Spirit who executed the work. And I wanted to read this incident in Zechariah again. And this morning we had fellowship and I saw again, this really has to speak to us. Maybe someone can read to us Zechariah 4, verses 7 to 10. Zechariah 4, 7 to 10. "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it.' Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Amen. So when we read here, in which situation the Lord called Zechariah? Zechariah and Haggai were called in a time when the building up of God's house came to stop. It was after a remnant had already come out of Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem, and they had begun to build up the house of the Lord again. And then there was resistance from the enemies. And through this resistance, the work came to a stop. It didn't go on. And then after quite a long time, it was almost 100 years. The Lord called these prophets and encouraged them. And this was a new generation. And the Lord again encouraged them. What do you do? Why do you start to build your own houses? And my house lays waste. And he started it, and his hands will also perfect it.
And
it talks about the plumb line and the capstone, verse 7. So the Lord started the work, and he will also bring forth the capstone. And we are in the Lord's work, in his restoration work. And we also experience today, through some resistance, the work of the Lord slowed down a bit, but the Lord wants to encourage us. The Lord says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit it shall happen. Today, the Lord wants to fulfill his work by his Spirit. And I want to come to the verses in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. And I found it very encouraging. We had read this quite a few times in the young people's meeting. Because the Lord has called and chosen already. It says here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That we are here is not by chance. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord had chosen us. Nobody thought of us, but the Lord already thought of us. And he knows that you sit here today, and that he speaks to us today. It is not by chance that we are all here. He says here, I already formed you. And it says, even says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And what was the reaction of Jeremiah when he heard this word? It was too high for him. Too big, it was too difficult. And then he said, Ah, Lord God. He didn't say Amen. He said, Ah, Lord God. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. So here the Lord has to touch something in our hearts. His problem was he looked at himself. He thought, how can I be such a prophet for the nations? But the Lord replied to him. That's in verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you should go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And it even says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Amen. It is so wonderful. When we want to speak for the Lord, it is not so difficult. He puts his words into our mouth. When we consider the situation of Peter and John in the temple, there was a situation, and the Lord somehow touched them, and they realized there's a man who was lame for 40 years. Can the Lord not do something? So in them, there was a burden for this man. And there are many situations in our life. If we have open eyes, we will realize the Lord touches you. You go somewhere and the Lord speaks to you. I want to testify shortly. In our house where we live, there is a neighbor. And once in a while, when I went into the washing room, many times this neighbor came at the same time. And I realized, this is not just so. And I was like Jeremiah, I had several reasons not to speak with this woman. And I thought, oh, I have something urgent to do. I have to wash the washing and go again quickly. And the Lord touched me. Who else should do it? The situation is there. Open your mouth. And I must confess, I didn't really want to, but I thought I had to obey the Lord. And I started to talk, and the conversation was immediately turned to the Lord. And she was very open. I did not expect this. And I realized the Lord had prepared the situation. And this is what is encouraging. When we go because we realize the Lord wants to do something, we do not have to be afraid. The Lord has prepared everything. You just have to open your mouth. Be a faithful witness. The Lord says, you will be my witnesses. A witness doesn't have to do so much. He only has to be faithful to speak what he has seen and heard. And then there's the Spirit as our advocate who will convict the other person and do the work. When the Lord says, now it's your turn, speak what you have seen, just open your mouth. And he even puts his words in your mouth. This is really so. Try it. If you have no idea what to say, you just know, I want to say something to this person. And I tell you, already this burden, you don't have to pray so much, oh, should I not? If the Lord gives you a burden for a person, just go. And open your mouth. And the Lord will put His words into your mouth. And we will experience how this whole situation will be under our feet. Another thing I want to testify shortly, there was a situation at work in my office, and I thought, I have to say something. And then I started to speak. And the one I talked with was a colleague who's always clothed in black clothes. The music he listens to is so evil, you cannot even call it music. Even his other colleagues who are not believers were shocked by this music. But I had the burden, I wanted to speak with him. And then I spoke, and he was very attentive. And later I heard he had a burnout twice through his work, and he also builds a house. And afterwards he said he had the impression someone wanted him to talk with me and show him a new perspective. And what touched me was, I realized I said things where normally I would think, oh, I would not want to say this because people would laugh at that. But I realized there was power behind it. Nobody laughed. But the Lord was with the speaker. And it's such a wonderful word here. The Lord says, go. Wherever I send you, go. And speak everything I command you. Whatever I command you shall speak. Do not hold back any word. Even if you realize they don't want to hear, speak. And one word for the young ones. Most of us are still very young. And it says here, do not say, I am a youth. When you have this thought in your heart, I am too young, there are others who can do it better, then think of this word. Remember this word. Do not say, I am a youth. It's not a reason to be young. It is not a reason for the Lord not to speak through you. No, the Lord wants to speak through you. And it's even better if you are young. The Lord used young people. He wants young people for Himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. We praise you, Lord Jesus.